It's a joy for us to be here. And we thank God for the opportunity of fellowship with you this morning. And we are pleased that you love us. We love you. And it is a blessing to have the fellowship with you that we have enjoyed. We value your prayers for us and for the ministry God has given us. And we are just grateful for the link that is possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you share in our lives as you pray for us. We had intended to be in the Philippines and in Singapore and Western Australia and Hawaii, but because of the terrorist attack in September, we canceled that or portions of that trip. And we were advised by missionaries in the Philippines that that probably wasn't a wise place to be. Our son Dan, who was in the Air Force, checked with his intelligence, they just simply said they couldn't tell us what was happening, but you don't want to be in the Philippines at this time. So we accepted the Lord's redirection and guidance for us, and we stayed home and ministered in and around this part of the world. But we do plan, in the Lord's will, to go to the Persian Gulf next year. Expect to be in Bahrain, Qatar, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates for March and part of April. And then in India for April, the rest of April and May. So if you would like to continue to pray for us regularly, you can pray for those who are making arrangements for our ministry in those countries in the Gulf. And in India, they are making decisions and making plans for meetings in various places. Most of India is in place already. We expect to go to Bombay and have a week of Bible teaching and training, I guess, with about 40 elders from the assemblies in and around Bombay. And we'll be in Bangalore for a week of meetings, and in Madras or Chennai, which is to see Colleen Reddit and teach in a Bible school in Madras, and then also in Cochin. So there are many decisions that are being made where we should go and what we should do. It's not something I make decisions on. We make the general arrangements, but others choose where we go and what we do and when we do it, and sometimes the subject as well. So we do value your prayers for us, and we thank God for the blessings that many have received because you pray for them. I ask many people to, because people are praying for you today, because I'm here, you can pray for others when we're elsewhere. And that helps us to share in the lives of other people. I'd like you to turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to read one verse from our responsive reading and spend our time thinking and meditating on just one verse with about a dozen words. The story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ never grows old. We enjoy this time of year. We enjoy the Christmas carols and the messages that the Christmas carols bring. Verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 51 as well. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Shall we pray together? Our loving God and Father, we come with special thanksgiving to this Christmas season, and we thank you that you have allowed us to live in a nation and in a country that celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge it's commercialized. We acknowledge many are involved in the holidays rather than Christ. But we do thank you that the freedoms that were established by godly men when this nation was founded have to a large degree been continued. We thank you that we have the privilege of gathering as we gather this morning to hear your word. We thank you for the radio and television and other means by which the gospel goes out in our country and around the world. And we pray for our missionaries and those that are seeking to extend the kingdom and the church around the world. May this Christmas season be a special time where they're able to use the reason for the season as a message to invite people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. We thank you for meeting with us this morning as you said you would do. You promised us that if we gather in your name, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be with us. You'll send your Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us into all truth. You as our Father will be here drawing men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. We offer you our mind that we might be satisfied with the truth of your word. May its reliability and infallibility, its dependability be something that pervades our thinking as we look at that truth. We think of the emotions that made Christmas and made the birth of Christ what it was. Anger on the part of some, apathy on the part of others. We thank you for those who bowed in worship and those who rejoiced and sang and spoke of your glory. May our emotions be stirred at this Christmas season as well. We thank you for the decisions that were made in order that Jesus Christ might be born, and we realize that our wills are involved as well. So we give you ourselves that we might hear your voice. We might listen and learn something that will encourage us and make this Christmas season more meaningful for us and perhaps to others as well. Thank you for these blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last year after Christmas, we were with our son Wes and his family, and our oldest grandson is a rather energetic young man. And so I asked him, I said, "What did you get for Christmas last year?" He said, "What?" I said, "What did you get for Christmas last year?" And he began to tell me what he got for Christmas this year. I said, "No, I want to know what you got for Christmas last year." He said, "I don't remember." And just before Christmas, I asked him, I said, "What are you going to give for Christmas?" Those are two questions that I ask children, just to help us understand and stop in our tracks and say, what is Christmas all about? What is it really? What is it involved in our lives? But if we were to stop and think, we're not children, what did you get for Christmas last year? Yeah, probably some of it went back because it didn't fit. It's back in the store, or at least it was. Now, a few things probably are broken. I'm sure some are in the closet because we don't collect those things. Our collectibles are something else. I'm sure there are some of those things we ate, and that was probably some of the best gifts are things that we ate, and we're still carrying those things around with us. But I couldn't help but think of that thought when you read verse 19. Mary kept all these things. If we were just to put that in the Christmas context, Mary kept all these things. We can't keep all the things we get for Christmas, and we would have a house full. Some of us have a house full anyway. But Mary kept all these things. She didn't get much on this first Christmas day in terms of physical things. They were poor. The gold and the frankincense and the myrrh probably didn't arrive for another couple of years when the wise men finally came following the star and came into the house, not the stable, but came into the house, and they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We can't keep all, but Mary could. We reminded ourselves Mary kept all these things. I want to look at three things with you this morning. And in a practical sense, what do we do with Christmas gifts? Do we, like Mary, keep all of them? Secondly, we note that she pondered them. in her heart. She pondered them. And thirdly, the pondering took place in her heart. She pondered, she kept all these things, she pondered these things, and she treasured them in her heart. Three things. It has to do with your memory. She kept all these things. I suppose it's possible for us to have important gifts set aside in our home someplace. That was a special gift. I'm going to keep that one. And those are the kind of gifts we want to give. We want to give a gift that's appreciated. We want to give a gift that is wanted. We want to give a gift that is going to remind that person of our love, our care, our interest, our concern, our desire to express our love to them. And we make, if we do it in a spiritual sense, we do make Christmas hard. I suppose that most of the gifts that are given are collectibles. If you go into a gift store, some stores are filled with nothing but collectibles. This person collects bells, this person collects bears, this person collects, and so you buy. Why is that? That's because we don't need anything. The sale of collectibles is because we do not need anything. If I take you to India, we can find many people that need that shirt, that need some food. But most of us don't need anything. But still in the midst of our lack of need, we want to show that we love. And so Mary treasured these things. They were things that were, in a sense, intangible. And there were things that were important. There were things that she carried with her for the rest of her life. And I want to try and point that out. Her memory. She kept all these things. She treasured them. She traded them in her mind, in her emotions, and in her will. When you keep things, you reject other things. I suppose there are occasions when we get a gift and say, I don't want that. And we take it back to the store and get a refund so that we can buy something we want. So when you keep things, it means you don't keep other things. There is a decision that we make, particularly in our mind. You choose what to remember. And so there is the memory, that storehouse where we put things that are important. Keepsakes, heirlooms, those are the kinds of things that we want to keep. It involves our memory. It also involves our mind. She pondered them. It means to think. She was going to review. The word means to weigh. It has the idea of ruminating, which is what a cow does. It takes four stomachs to get the food from green grass to white milk and yellow butter, and the cow brings it up and reviews it, chews it, and gets the good out of it. That's what pondering means. It means to muse. Amuse means don't think. Muse means to think. If you go to an amusement park, such as Disney World or Disneyland, you shell out $40 or $50 for a day of riding rides and come away with nothing. And you couldn't think about it because you wouldn't spend that much money for a day of doing nothing and getting nothing. So the word amuse means don't think. But to muse means to ponder. It means to evaluate. It means to review. And then the third aspect is that this took place in her heart. The heart is the seat of our feelings and our emotions. It's the citadel where war takes place as to what you're going to enjoy and what you're going to hate. It involves a sort of a castle where you are in charge. You decide what's going on in your heart. Nobody else has that responsibility. You choose what you love. You choose what you think about. Or you may turn on the radio, and the radio then dictates what you think. Or the television dictates what you think. But for those who enjoy solitude and silence, you choose what you think, and you can direct your thoughts. So there is the sin of the vault. It's the place where real treasures are held. It's sort of a fountain from which all kind of good things come out. And Mary did this. And I don't want you to forget, Mary kept all these things. She pondered them. And she pondered them in her heart. First of all, then, the treasury of her heart. She kept these things. She's like the widow with the barrel of meal. And your mind is the same thing. Your memory is the same thing. You reach down and you pick it out and you have a little bit to eat and there's still enough for more. And you do it again and again. She kept these things. She memorized them. I don't suppose she could read or write. Maybe she could. We don't know. But her memory had to be filled with what she heard. And I would like to suggest that as we read at the end of the chapter, verse 51, that Mary was doing the same thing all through her life. And I can see the things that related to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ coming up in her life over and over and over again. And if we review what happened in her life as the mother of the Lord Jesus, we can look back and we can wonder the correlation between what she heard at the birth of Christ and what she saw at the death of Christ. They are related. And what she treasured in her memory at the birth of Christ came back to encourage her and strengthen her at the death of Christ. And the same thing should be true for us. Why do we memorize? Some of us aren't able to memorize as much as we used to, but it was a means of preparing her heart. A gift at Christmas time is to strengthen the memory of that individual and of that person. And so we do that. It's used on several occasions, this word kept. It speaks of John being kept in prison. Herod kept John in prison because he wanted to bring him out and listen to him and put him back and play with him as a toy. That's what the word keep means. We're told that we should keep new wine in new wineskins. It's the same word. Why do you do that? Well, we don't. But if you were to live in that day, you would take that grape juice that you had pressed out of the grapes. You wanted to preserve it. You wanted to enjoy it. It was part of your sustenance. It was what you would drink. And you would take that wine and you would put it in a new wineskin because you wanted to keep it. And you would enjoy it. And it matured and it became better with age. It means to keep. I think it was a means of protecting her as well. What you keep in your mind is part of God's design to protect you in a day of trouble, in a day of difficulty. In John chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus was there at the wedding feast, and the Lord Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come." The truth that she heard at the birth of Christ came into play on that occasion, and I think she began to understand at that point why the Lord Jesus Christ was given and why he came. And so it was there to protect us. It's a war in our memory. There are things we would not like to remember, but we don't seem to be able to forget. And there are things we would like to dwell upon, but we can't bring them back. They didn't have TV and books. They didn't have magazines and radio, videos and movies. They didn't have those things. They were blessed by not having those things. But we have the scriptures. We have books and tapes and videos, the spiritual things that we are able to use as a means of keeping all these things in our hearts. We are reminded by the book of Proverbs, "My son, keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life." If we were to look for these treasures that she kept in her heart, what did she have? What were all these things? It says Mary kept all these things. They're not things. They were truths. They were messages. And if we review what Mary received, we find, first of all, she had the words of God. God spoke to her. What better thing to keep than the word of God? In John chapter 8, verses 51 and 52, we're reminded, if anybody keeps my words. That's what Mary did. Mary did the very thing that her son commanded us to do. If you keep my words, there is a special blessing. And Mary received that blessing. There were the words of God from an angel about a Savior in Luke chapter 2. He is going to save His people from their sins, we have in Matthew. These were words that Mary heard. They are words that Mary treasured in her heart. Her mind was filled with the Word of God. They came from the angel of a Savior, of a Son, the Son of the Highest, David, David's Son. Mary heard those words from the angel. And she heard that this Son was going to be the King. He will be the Son of the Highest. He will take the throne of His father David. He will be of the house of Jacob. And Mary took those truths and she kept them in her heart. Opened the doors of her mind. Pushed these truths in. Closed the door. Securely saving them. They were the words of God from an angel. They were the words of God from her own heart. When you read her Magnificat, surely we ought to stand in amazement at the content of the words of God that came from her lips. Can you imagine where we are with our understanding, writing as glorious a message as Mary wrote, and Mary said? In her own heart, if you read verses 46 to 55, you have Mary's glorious expression. And we have her words, a heart which was filled with what? Filled with the Word of God. Filled with the Old Testament. Filled with truths that just seemed to flow out of her mind. Oh, I believe she was inspired. But our hearts maybe don't flow the same way because they're not as full of those truths as they should be. We can talk about cars. We can talk about flowers. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about many other things. But they don't seem to flow out because we don't keep those things in our heart. She heard the word of God from the angels. She heard the word of God from her own heart. She heard the word of God from Simeon. Simeon came in Luke chapter 1, in chapter 2. He says, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation." Imagine her holding this little baby and handing it to Simeon, and Simeon saying, "I've seen God's salvation." That takes a prophetic eye. It takes faith in the Word of God. It takes an understanding of the prophetic message which was given. He speaks of God's salvation to this little boy. He speaks of a sovereign, a king, a light to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. She heard that there was going to be a stone. This child will be for the rising and fall of many in Israel. And she took those things and she put them in her heart. A stone of stumbling or a stepping stone? Which is it going to be? And this person whom the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, she could see him in the midst of these words from Simeon that this child was going to allow some to step forward and others would stumble. She filled her mind with that. And then she heard from Simeon a sword, verse 35. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. She kept that and pondered it in her heart. The day came when she stood before the cross in John chapter 19 with others, and she watched that sword pierce through her own soul. Oh, of course the sword pierced her son as well. The nails pierced, the crown of thorns pierced, and each of them a sword. But it was her soul. And if she had not kept that and pondered it in her heart, if she had not reserved that truth given to her by Simeon, what would the cross have meant? She filled her mind. Her memory was stocked with truths that came back again and again. And the same thing should be true for us. Mary is a wonderful example to us. What do you keep? Well, you keep gifts from people that are important to you. You go to a party and you have a gag gift and you take it home and you wrap it up to give it out next year to somebody else. You don't keep it. But treasured things, things that come from people you love. Some of her treasures were the words of God. There were the treasures that came from her cousin Elizabeth. If you read in Luke chapter 1, verses 42 to verse 45, you have this glorious word, blessing. Blessed art thou among women. It's a lovely word. It should come from our lips regularly. And in verse 42, Elizabeth speaks of the blessing of being the woman that God has chosen, the handmaiden of the Lord. Blessed is the woman. She hears the word, blessed is the womb. What a responsibility. What a duty. What lovely choice God made to take this woman. And she took these words and she put them in her memory. And in verse 45, the blessing of the word, happy is the one who believes. That's the mind. Belief comes from the mind. Belief comes from the emotions. Belief comes from the will. And we fill our mind with the Word of God, the result can be that we believe the Word of God and it changes our life. There was the witness of Elizabeth. In chapter 2, there is the worship of the shepherds. Worship, I say, because they glorified and praised God. We don't know how much Mary heard, but I rather think that it wasn't very long before those shepherds came back, perhaps, and exclaimed to Mary, the circumstances. Surely they would have heard about the angels appearing to the shepherds out on the hillside saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. And I can hear Mary just thrilled and she says, I'm going to take those things and I'm going to put that in my mind. And she reviewed it. There was the wrath of Herod. In Matthew chapter 2, she no doubt heard from the wise men and from others, that Herod was going to try to kill this child, and with that child, kill all the others the same age. I think she put those things in her mind. I think she pondered them. Why this child's life was so important that the king would want to kill her? Surely the wisdom of the wise men who followed the star, who talked to the sages. What does the scripture say? But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little, this is what the scribe said, this is what the prophet said. I rather think that that quotation that the wise men heard from the sages, the scribes and Pharisees, Mary heard again as she talked with the wise men. In Luke chapter 2, you have the wonder of the multitude. And we are reminded that those who heard it were amazed at what they heard. Let me ask you, what are we filling our mind? What are we keeping? When you think of the Christmas season and your celebration on Christmas Day and you open your presents and gifts, I'll keep this, I won't keep this, I'll give this to somebody else, I'll take this back to the store, I'll sell this at a garage sale, I'm going to keep this. We'll do it. Our emotions will be different, but the spiritual truths that are so important to us can make Christmas very, very different. It can be like Mary. In Luke, John chapter 2, you have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his mother, saying, "Woman, what have I to do with you?" I rather think she put this in her mind as well. She pondered that. What does this mean? So that's what her mind was filled with. We have those truths as well. Our mind can be filled with those truths. Our memory can be just adequately taken care of with all that God has given to us. And we should fill our memory. But then she pondered it. If we have the memory, she kept all these things. That's the storeroom. That's the library. That's the warehouse. Then we have the workstation where those truths and those that teaching and those ideas are pondered. It's the intellect. It means doing. The word ponder means to throw together. You'll do that this Christmas season. You've got your shelf. You open your cabinet in your kitchen, and there are all the ingredients for some cookies or cake, and you take those things down. You have saved them. That's your storage, and you're going to take them down, and you're going to ponder them. You're going to put them all together and bring out a cake that you can give to somebody. That's what Mary did. And Mary was involved in taking this and this and this and this. And as she took those things all together, she was able to face the circumstances of life and death. The gentle checking, almost the rejection of her son. "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And then the Lord Jesus would have his mother and his brethren coming and saying, "You know, you're beside yourself." And the Lord Jesus turns to his friends there and says, "The one who does the will of my Father, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." And again, she is gently checked, as though she didn't understand. And she went back to her storehouse, back to her memory, and said, "Well, what did I learn? What did I hear as a young girl when this man was born, when this boy was born?" And so we throw it together, too, in the road to Emmaus. We're doing somewhat the same thing. Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us? And the Lord Jesus Christ began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Lord was going and gathering and gathering and gathering and putting it into their mind so they could ponder these things. What do we think about? I had somebody reminding me just the other day, saying, "Well, you know, we really need to listen as much as possible to the Christian radio and to tapes." I said, "Well, isn't there a good time to just be quiet and fill your own mind and ponder these things and choose what you're going to think about?" He said, "I never thought about that." It's important, isn't it? We're to study to be quiet. There are times in the scripture when it says, "Be still, and you will know." And so Mary pondered these things. She pondered them at the manger. The birth of your first child must be, as a woman, one of the most astonishing and amazing experiences. And for this woman to have had these truths and pondered them, she pondered them at the manger of the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a Savior. She must have pondered them with the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 when they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh and spoke of him as being a king, as being a shepherd. "He's the one who's going to shepherd my people Israel." In Luke chapter 2, she must have pondered, must have gone over these words again and again and again, reviewed them, sifted them, compared them, challenged them. That's what our heart is supposed to do. That's what our mind is for. In Luke chapter 2, we have again, he grew in stature. He was filled with the Spirit, and grace was upon him. What an amazing thing to see this perfect child developed. We weren't perfect children. None of us had perfect children. But it must have been part of her pondering to see this child develop. At the age of 12, she must have pondered this when he said, Do you not know I must be about my father's business? At the wedding feast, I've already mentioned she must have pondered that. Woman, what have I to do with you? And yet she turns and says, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Is it not possible that in his ministry, when his mother came seeking him, he gently checked her? In John chapter 19, she stood at the cross. And she must have pondered these things. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, where they gathered in the upper room for the weight of the Holy Spirit, and Mary was there. She must have pondered these things. Some 30 years of going over truths from the announcement of the angel, now to the fulfillment of Christ's promise that the Father will send the Holy Spirit. She kept these things. What are you keeping this Christmas? Surely I hope there's room in your mind and in your memory for these biblical truths, the message of Christmas. What are you pondering? What are you treasuring? What are you taking and comparing one against the other and mixing these things with those things? I hope that you're pondering these truths. And I hope it's in your heart. Where is Christmas? Oh, it's nice to have a tree. It's nice to have the flowers. It's nice to have other things. But Christmas is what takes place in your heart. It's what your mind is occupied. It's what your memory is filled with. And there are those little gifts that you'll keep and say, wow, I treasure this. This is from somebody I love. This will remind me of him. This will remind me of her. And you will keep that. And that's exactly what God has done when He gave us His Word. We are to fill our alabaster box with the precious truths, with the precious thoughts of Christ, with the scriptures and songs and hymns and spiritual songs that remind us of Christ. And out of the abundance of the heart, says Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when I ask you, what did you get for Christmas? Oh, you say, I got a lovely dress, or I got this, or I got that. Or you might say, I got a new insight into who Jesus Christ is. You might say, what did you get for Christmas? Well, I got a better understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ as my shepherd, as my Savior, as the Son of God. And you can take those truths and you can treasure them. And they'll come out of your mind and out of your heart because that's where you've stored them. This Christmas season, I hope that you'll take the time in the midst of busyness of buying and baking, in the midst of all of this, I hope that you'll take time to do what Mary did. She kept all these things. She turned them over in her heart. And the heart was the place that she kept them. The citadel, the castle, the storehouse. What do you treasure from Christmas? You treasure the things you've kept. That's simple. You don't keep something you don't care about. What is your lingering activity this Christmas? I hope it's pondering, reviewing, reminding. And where is the real treasure of Christmas kept? In your heart. Shall we sing together number 153? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsia Deo. Number 153. Shall we stand? Together?